Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where sales leaders teach you what's working for them and how you can build it yourself.
This episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast is brought to you by our sales coaching and consulting services. Are you looking to create repeatable, scalable, and predictable revenue? We've helped thousands of companies grow their business with tailored expert advice backed by testing to ensure they establish the best practices that'll work for them. Head over to bit.ly/predictable revenue coaching to learn more. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about something that definitely every salesperson out there is trying to do, to varying degrees of success, of course, but everyone who's trying to break into a new market, who's trying to have a conversation, who's trying to get in front of the people that they want to sell to, is trying to stand out and be different. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So I'm your host, Sarah Hicks, and today on the Predictable Revenue Podcast, I'm going to be chatting with an expert about the 6 vital skills to stand out and sell more. He's a highly sought after international speaker and trusted advisor to sales and business leaders at many of the world's most admired companies. He's a global managing director in Franklin Covey's sales performance practice, where he helps clients dramatically grow revenues and profitability. He's a sales thought leader, and he co-authored the Amazon #1 new release book in sales and selling, Strikingly Different Selling, 6 Vital Skills to Stand Out and Sell More. And for more than 30 years, he's led businesses and helped a wide range of clients solve challenges and win more business in virtually every region of the world. Dale Merrill, welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast.
Thanks, Sarah. Great to be here.
So give me a little bit of context here on your strikingly different selling, on kind of the philosophy that you've built around that.
Yeah, so this has been such a fascinating project. I have a privilege to, with my co-authors, to work with thousands of salespeople around the world, thousands of sales leaders. And we had so many of them coming to us saying, hey, we're having a hard time getting a first meeting, or we're having a hard time having the first meeting go somewhere. And basically they said, we're just looking like everybody else. We're just not standing out. So help us out. And so this kicked off a multi-year initiative to figure this out. And how can we help salespeople stand out in a different and better way, in a way that actually resonates with clients? So that's the genesis of this whole thing. And there's more cool nuggets under the surface as we get into it. But that's kind of the overall big picture.
Yeah, absolutely. And how did you start to go out and try to gather this information that would help you figure out how the top salespeople are standing out?
Yeah, this is really fun. We had several large global companies approach us and say, we want you to help us help our very top salespeople be a lot better. Mm-hmm. So we set up these sales simulations all around the world. And over a 6-year period, we had a chance to watch more than 2,800 sales professionals, arguably at the top of their game, you know, 23 years of experience on average, 135 countries, 17 different industry groups. We watched them participate in almost 1,700 client meetings. And so we were able to be a fly on the wall and do deep, after each of these interactions, ask the selling team, well, how did that go from your perspective? And then we can go ask the client the same thing. And the big surprise for us is when we went and asked the selling team, hey, how did it go? You know, what do you think we heard, Sarah, from these salespeople?
I mean, probably a little bit of a mix of everything, but yeah, pretty good. I think it went pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, these were salespeople and they were supposed to be at the top of their game. So they would say things like, we nailed it. We did a great job. You know, we're really going somewhere. We had good dialogue and so forth. The British would say, well, we were brilliant, really. And the Americans said, we nailed it, that kind of a thing. So they gave it a thumbs up. Then we went to the clients, and these were C-suite people. So CEO, CFO, CDO, CTO, CIO, all the C's, right? And we asked them, how did the meeting go from your perspective? And they usually gave us a long pause. And 70% of the time, they said something like this. That meeting was a waste of my time. Ouch. How do you have thumbs up from the salespeople and literally not thumbs sideways, but thumbs down from the client?
Yeah.
And it was really surprising. So we pushed back on the client and we said, really, if it was really that unhelpful, why didn't you just end the meeting and move on? Then they usually softened and they said something like this. Okay, maybe it wasn't a complete waste of my time because I was actually looking forward to the meeting. It just wasn't the dialogue we were hoping to have. So as we peeled that, that was helpful. We could peel that back. And as we peeled that back, we said, what's going on? They said two things. Salespeople talk too much, blah, 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 about themselves, their technology, their people, how amazing they are. Never about us, the client. And two, he said, however they approached it, none of them stood out. They all looked and sounded the same. So that was really interesting, you know, as we watched all these hundreds and then it turned into thousands of meetings. And then we started applying this out to the rest of the world. And we started working with a group of executives to help us think through their lens, through their eyes, what do salespeople need to do to actually stand out? And that's how we came up with the model in the book, the six vital skills and the whole thing. It's the first book we know of that is we really tried faithfully to write this through the eyes of the client. It's what they want to hear. It's how they want to be interacted with. And then we started applying it, fine-tuning and adjusting over a 10-year period. And we found that it rocks. I mean, it really is helpful when people do it their style, their way. They can stand out and pop in a different and better way to the clients.
Yeah, that's so cool. You're so right. Most sales, whether it's tips, tricks, tactics, strategies, or actual books out there are written from the salesperson to say, like, I've done this a bunch of times and I've proven that it works and it's my strategy and it's great. And you're right. It's not ever written from this perspective of, okay, but what about on the other side of the table where you're actually trying to make the progress? Do we have their input? Is this how they like to be sold to? Or are you managing to sell in spite of yourself, maybe? Which I think is what's happening in a lot of cases when you're talking about those top performers who obviously were top performers. They were managing to close those deals, but not because of the skills that they thought they had, maybe because it's the right product in the right market, good timing with the client, something like that. But you guys have come up with something through the eyes of the customer that is actually going to help these salespeople be what the buyers want them to be. So talk to me about the kind of overarching framework that you guys have come up with to help the salespeople, be different.
Yeah. Such a great question. It's no surprise to any of your listeners or to any salesperson on the planet that you have to bring some contrast, right? Duh. Of course, we have to bring some contrast. The thing that was surprising to us and frankly, the clients who pointed this out to us is it's how you define contrast. And most people define contrast in a way that doesn't mean anything to the clients. When you define contrast the right way, you get action on the other side. And so that's kind of the litmus test. So how do you do that? So we, through all this research and one other quick data point, which is so interesting, we weren't satisfied with our own primary research. So we decided to go and partner with a firm named Primary Intelligence to look at more than 19,000 B2B interactions between the buyers at the B2B organization and the selling team. And we found that on deals from 100,000 to a billion around the world over an 8-year period, 19,000 interactions, 42% of the time, buyers couldn't tell the difference between sellers. Just couldn't do it. And that was so fascinating to us. As we looked at that and we were working with these executives, we said, is there some kind of mindset that we can just kind of flip the switch? I wish, Sarah, we could just flip a switch, right? But if we can flip the switch in our brain and see ourselves and our clients differently, would it make a difference? And we came up with this formula that guaranteed it will make a difference. So if your listeners get nothing else out of it than this, it's a good thing. Relevant, distinct, and memorable. So when you look at yourself and the client and the world through this lens of relevant means whatever you say, whatever you do, however you interact with the client, make sure you are focused on what matters most to them. We call that being relevant. And you would think, well, again, let's press the duh button, folks. Of course we should do it. Yeah, we should. And people just weren't. They're always focused on themselves. Yeah. D stands for distinct, show the client something different and better. I mean, I could put on a bright yellow suit, I could light my remaining hair on fire and run in circles, right? That would be different, but not necessarily better. It has to be different and better to the client. And then memorable means whatever you say, make it easy to share and hard to forget. If you can put RDM on, chant it like a mantra, you know, sing it like a song. Think of an ear, you heard of an earworm? Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this to you and all of your listeners, and I apologize. Have you heard of Baby Shark?
Yeah.
Have you heard the Baby Shark? It's an earworm. Baby Shark, doo, 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 baby shark, right? Sorry for all your listeners who have to
be in there all day.
It's going to be in there all day. It's not going away. That's what RDM should be for salespeople. Quick story, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
One of our clients was a guy in Melbourne, Australia. We met him in India 2 months before a proposal was due. And they were doing this boring outsourcing, application maintenance outsourcing. It was a 6-year contract. They were the incumbent, and the client told them, we're pushing you out the door. You know, you've done an okay job, but we're pushing you out the door. So when we met Mark, he said, help me. So we gave him the mindset of strikingly different, RDM, and the 6 skills. We kind of coached him and got him ready, helped him think through the orals prep. He went back to Australia, and with his team, he knew he was competing with 3 really top-notch companies that competed primarily on price. Mm-hmm. And Mark's firm was pretty much a higher end of price and value kind of a firm, and they go for the ROI. So they just asked themselves on every meeting, is this relevant? Are we focused on what matters most to the client? Is this going to be memorable? Will our client, when they're together, will they actually, around the coffee machine, if they're doing it pre-pandemic and post-pandemic, when they're on their you know, screens, will this be memorable to them? Will this be distinct, and will it be memorable? And so they just kept going through this RDM as a chant. They got to the day of the proposals. It was two months later after we had met. They stood up and they built everything underneath using the mindset of relevant, distinct, and memorable. And if we get into a couple of the skills here, Sarah, they use the billboard approach, core message. Mm-hmm. Think and speak in headlines, link to the client's goals and issues, and use from to outcomes. And they lined it all up, and they had a 3-hour presentation, very interactive. They didn't show one slide. They used only microsites, super fresh. And the client stood up at the end and went, wow. We were pushing you out the door. You have just jumped from the number 4 position to the number 1 position. We'll get back to you next week. Next week, they got a call. This is on a Friday, and they had the worst position on the Friday. They were the last group before the weekend. Yeah. But then they got a call on Wednesday. They won a $16 million contract, multi-year contract, and the client was just blown away at how crisp, fresh, and different it was. Mm. That's the promise if you just think right and then do some things underneath it right.
Yeah. What an incredible sort of example of the fact that it is not the features that sell at all, because right. It had nothing to do with that. The features were the same. What they were actually offering that client did not change from Friday to Monday, but we don't buy the thing, we buy from the person, and it's all down to the person. It's a good example, because I think we get stuck in the trap of, as salespeople, going like, okay, but my product is really cool. It has this extra value. Like, that's going to be the thing that changes their mind. Let me really talk about all the things that make my product neat and different. But it's not the product. It's all these other things, and it's the interaction, and it's doing that properly. What a great story.
Yeah, thanks. You're spot on, Sarah. If everything was equal between competitor, you know, A, B, and C, and let's say you're competitor B and you're trying to win, you're seller B. If everything's equal, you can actually stand out as strikingly different. Mm-hmm. If you have the lens of relevant, distinct, and memorable in front of you, and you communicate in a different and better way. And we found that of those losses, so there's a lot of data behind this, but it's possible to actually change the equation. You're right. Even if you don't change any tech or any approach or any process, it's possible to stand out as different, which is cool.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned a couple of skills in there that are part of your 6 vital skills. So why don't you walk us through those and give us a little context on each of them?
Sure. So the billboard, there's 6 of them because we had to find a way to bring these to life, the concept of relevant, distinct, and memorable. And the first 4 skills are about connecting and engaging with the client. And the skill number 1, which is capture attention with verbal billboards, in this busy ADD world, this world of 24/7 news cycles and everything, you have to be like that. You have to be, it's a 3-second opportunity to capture attention, not just by doing online marketing or an email, but when you speak to someone. So we went to the advertising industry and we took a page from the advertising industry. These folks have it figured out, right? How do you grab someone's attention quickly and have it stick in their brain? Almost like a bit of an earworm as well, right? Just how do you do that? So this came up when we were watching one of these client meetings, and the client got really frustrated with the selling team and said, can you just get to the point? You know, sum it up for me in a billboard. We thought, that's cool. So we did all this work to come up with sales billboards. And I kind of gave the 3 components that are so important. But think of it like this. think of it that the billboard is like the roof of a house. And the house, the whole house represents all the messages that a salesperson wants to share with a client on how the client can be different and better as a result of working with the salesperson and their product, solution, service, whatever. The roof of that house that everything has to fit under is your billboard. It is your core message for the client. And it consists of an overall main message and up to three from to subheadlines. Let me give you a little bit more on from and to. That is a secret nugget that if your folks get nothing more out of this than that, they will win a lot more. From means current state, to is desired future state. So from X to Y, from current to future, what we found is when we looked at this, most salespeople always show the promised destination. Here's the cool stuff you can have with our features and our benefits and people, whatever. But they don't juxtapose it with the bad stuff or the thing that you have today. That very few people do it. Very few marketing agencies do this. It's a huge miss, frankly, out there in marketing and a huge miss in sales. It's a blind spot that salespeople have. So we found if you can put together how you can go from X to Y, from a certain position to another position over a certain time period, the human mind takes over and it becomes really exciting for the client. They can picture almost with the emotions and the symptoms that would I have here, and they're going to be very different over here. So you want a from to headline to juxtapose that. And I can give you several examples if that would be helpful. But that's the concept. So a billboard is your core message for the client, and it's a very tight, crisp way to define not your cool stuff, but how they're going to have something different. They being the client will have something different and better as a result of working with us. Does that make sense? Pretty
cool. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Cool. So you've got the billboard. That's like, yeah, tightening it all up, giving them something short, concise, snappy. What are the other skills that the salespeople need to adopt?
Yeah. So the second one is we went to the movie industry. We like to have media, right? So we went to the movie industry and said, how does Hollywood or any of the global film areas get people to watch a movie? They do a movie trailer. And many people don't know, but the creator and producer of a movie trailer is different 99% of the time than the movie production company. It's a creative agency. And their goal pre-pandemic was three words, butts in seats. They said, we want humans to sit in the movie theater, buy popcorn and soda, enjoy the movie, and watch more movie trailers, right? That's what they want. Mm-hmm. And they could predict with a high degree of accuracy how successful that movie would be. And we found that that could be applied really successfully pre-pandemic, during pandemic, and post-pandemic in sales. So we actually talked to producers, some famous people, to figure out what's the formula. And we looked at the top 100 movie trailers over the last 100 years and all that. We came up with a simple formula: capture attention, create interest, call to action. So the billboard, the core message, slides right down into the delivery vehicle called a movie trailer. And whether you're trying to get a meeting, for example, how are you going to capture their attention and create enough interest that they will be willing to meet with you if that's your desired action? Whether it's on LinkedIn or it's a text message or it's some kind of social media message or it's an email or a phone call or in person, it all works the same. So we have a lot of examples in the book of what does bad look like and what does good look like? And that's, we found the contrast. We tried to swallow our own medicine throughout the book and give bad versus good, kind of the foil method. And so the movie trailer is about getting people excited. So you capture attention with a billboard, you create excitement with a movie trailer. That's the first two skills. The third skill, how do you build some credibility? So we have something called flashbacks and flash forwards. And a flashback, just like in a movie, when you're watching a scene and all of a sudden there's a little bit of a flashback, you go back in time and you go, oh, this thing happened over here. And that's pretty important to the plot here in the current time. For sales, it would sound like this. Sarah, if you and I were talking, you're the client and I'm the sales guy, right? And you're interested in what I'm saying. You say, hey, Dale, that sounds pretty interesting. Where have you done this before? You know what we usually hear from salespeople? We hear this. Well, we've worked with a bunch of clients in your space and we've done a great job, you know, and here's some client names if they can say them or whatever. There's a better way. And it would be something like this. And this is a flashback. It's built on a premise of why, what, why. which is a story frame. I'd say, well, Sarah, as we've been talking, I couldn't help but think about another client in a pretty similar situation to you. Let me just share with you why they needed to change, what we did and learned and achieved together, and why that might matter to you. Then we'll come back and dive into your situation a little more deeply. And so what we found is that clients, when they ask a question like that, don't want us to, you know, serve them a five-course meal. They want us to set the table, just a little bit. So you set the table with a why, what, why story form. It takes less than 2 minutes to do it. And then let the client ask you for more. So we kind of have a thread through the book of being really respectful to clients' time and thoughtful, not cheesy, not over the top, not underneath, but just kind of right here, you know, where, meaning meet them where they are. And that's a thread on building credibility and confidence. So that skills 1, 2, and 3, capture attention, create excitement, build credibility and confidence. And then skill 4 is all about when you are needing to serve up your differentiator, how do you do that so you can become essential? And we have a nugget in there called make sure you have a point of contrast. So if you say we're different because of X, and you have to say, well, relative to what? Compared to what? Well, it could be compared to what a competitor might do, which you have to be careful on because you're not trying to trash competitors.
Yeah.
But at least maybe comparing to how generically somebody else might approach the situation. We found that point of comparison does the same thing to the client as having a from and to thing. Juxtaposing two things together, that's the secret sauce of being strikingly different. And that's why we came up with the title of the book is Strikingly Different Selling. What does that mean? It means stand out so that you can sell more. And the reason you would do that is because a client's getting something different and better and they like that. So that's the first 4 skills. It's all about connecting and engaging with the client and having messages that all come under that roof of the billboard.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, it all totally makes sense. It's so nice to have a kind of way to conceptualize each of these things and bring them into a framework like this so that you can just sort of take yourself through those steps and know what you're getting yourself into every time. What are the remaining 2 skills?
So the remaining 2 are about how do you actually validate and co-create with a client? And so you can't just talk all the time, right? You have to ask questions and get curious and discover where are you missing it and where are the gaps? And so that's skill 5. It's just get curious and find the gaps in what you're thinking and how it could relate to the client. And the last skill is about navigating traffic lights, pushbacks, challenges, objections that come. How do you do that in a good way? And we liken it to driving down a city street in early morning or late night. You'll have lots of green lights, maybe a couple of yellows, maybe an occasional red. But you think about rush traffic and the grind of midday, lots of yellow and lots of red. Mm-hmm. Same thing in a client pursuit. You're going to have intersections with clients that you'll come up to. Sometimes they're easy. Client asks you a question. You can easily answer the question. You're still green light. You've moved through. Other times you have to slow down, like with the yellow light, and we have a 3-part approach on how to handle objections. Others are really gnarly. I mean, it's like a wreck up ahead. You stop and it's red and you try to turn it to green or you gracefully exit. So here's a little piece that will help people. Why did we put those back at skill 5 and 6? Because we found this is what the clients told us. You all, meaning salespeople, have to earn the right to ask me questions. So put a provocative insight in front of me. We asked them, how long do you want a salesperson to talk before you talk in a meeting? And in a 1-hour meeting, we said, how long? Mm-hmm. And they said, this surprises, 2 minutes. Interesting. So when we worked with the clients, we crafted all these story forms that I've shared, the movie trailer, the flashback, there's a flash forward, there's a how you share a differentiator, 90 seconds or less. That's how we've crafted it. So, but we had to serve up the mindset and the how do you do that? And then that earns you the right to ask these good questions to find out what are the problems the client's trying to solve related to that thing that topic we teed up and results they're trying to achieve. So you have a chance to actually go back and forth. So if we put that at the front of the book, people would get confused and they wouldn't understand. The point is when it's your turn to talk, what do you say? When it's your turn to ask questions, how should you ask and engage? And the short answer is in an early stage meeting, it should be 70% salesperson, 30% salesperson, and 70% client. What is it in reality? 90% salesperson and 0.015%, client.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you read through the whole book, you get lots of great examples and helpful things. It's really about going from being frenetically focused on yourself to being focused on the client. Mm-hmm. It's going from being digital to authentically human. So the contrast here is that this is not about clever little techniques and clever little story frames. It's about how do you connect and engage in a human way with clients. And if you can do that in a good way, we found if people take these, the mindset and skills, they'll dramatically stand out to the client in a different and better way. And client gets a win. They're working with great salespeople who have great stuff and they can connect the dots on that.
Very cool. I think something that's so interesting about your framework and about writing the book from that customer perspective or buyer perspective is that most salespeople never get the opportunity to be a B2B buyer. Most of the time, a sales practitioner, unless they, you know, move up into a VP sales role after, you know, many years of selling, don't ever get the opportunity to be in that seat. And it was funny because I had the chance to sit in on a demo that was someone was pitching something to our coaching org just a couple of months ago. And I have come from a background in selling, moved into coaching. So I'm not in that buying position a lot of the time, but I hopped on this demo and I sat there and I was like, okay, cool. Like, wow, I really get to be on this side of the table this time. I'm so excited to see, you know, all the cool selling tactics that come through with this company. It was like a pretty reputable company, pretty big company, had something that through the kind of email pitch, it seemed like it could be a really good fit. I think they outbounded us and I was like, you know what? That sounds cool. Okay, we'll do it. Which in itself is a win. They were doing something well there. And we hopped on the demo and I think for 25 minutes straight, they talked and it went further and further away from what we cared about. And I kept trying to be like, and they just kept going. And it was so interesting to be on the other side and going, how did they get there? How were they in this echo chamber or this vacuum where they built, and it was a bunch of people on the call. They've all done this and they've all gone like, yeah, this is cool. This works really well. This is the way we do our demos. And it's because the salespeople just don't get to be in that seat. So getting to read a book like yours, where they get to hear all of the insights from that side is so important because they often don't get the firsthand experience. So it's so important to read a book like yours.
And wasn't it surprising to you when you sat there? Were you thinking, folks, what is wrong with you? Pause. Absolutely. And ask us. We're the clients.
Yes.
And it's like this train wreck that happens over and over again.
Yeah.
When we were, again, we watched like 1,700 meetings. And the first 400, we were thinking, seriously? And finally, again, we're slow, right? But we got it finally. After like 400, we said, holy mackerel, everybody's doing this.
Yeah.
Not every human, but the very few that don't are strikingly different.
Yeah.
The rest
absolutely.
We call surprisingly average because they look and sound like everybody else, even at the top of their game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can give you story after story, but it's crazy. And so this is simplicity on the far side of complexity. This is like Da Vinci when he says, it's not simplistic. It's simple, but not simplistic. Because how you apply it has to be an adaptation to the human that you're talking to, or if you're doing outbound whatever, if you're an SDR or a BDR, you're somehow trying to get meetings, how do you craft the message in just the right tone, just the right way so that it resonates? And it's all about forget yourself, get in the shoes of the client.
Yep.
Are you focused on being relevant? You know, what matters most to them, distinct for them, something different and better and memorable, easy to share and hard to forget. That simple lens, if we had just written the book on that, we've had so many people that have had great success just changing, flipping the switch and changing their mindset. And then the skills really help it come to life. But that mindset's a powerful thing.
Absolutely. So interesting. Well, I think we'll tell people where they can find the book in just a second. But as kind of a wrap up, I'd love to hear, once you kind of established this framework, once you'd figured it out and you kind of shared it with the sales reps that you were working with, you mentioned the one anecdote of that, the Australian company or the Australian who had to, you know, make that pitch and won that deal. Give me kind of an overall impact that this has when it's applied. What do you see in sales roles, sales orgs? What happens when this framework is applied?
You know, pretty much everything changes. It's one of those things. Another fun story, just to throw out an anecdote, two quick little stories from another client just recently we're working with now and some huge wins they had. This is a $600 million company. They do business process services. So they do technology and some outsourcing stuff and some other tech things. And they were competing and winning a reasonable share, but they weren't always down selected. So for those who don't know what that means, if you have 10 companies competing on something, who gets narrowed down to the final two and three, we call it down selected, right? They were never in the final two to three, rarely, because the big fellas, the ones who are much bigger, got it. We help them get their brains around the mindset, the skills. We trained them on some stuff, did some coaching. And then within 4 months, they noticed they were starting to get regularly down selected because it changed the way that they showed up. It changed the way that they responded even to an RFP. And so that was one good thing. Another part for this particular client, they were $600 million. We just got a note, it's 2 months ago now. They said, "Hey, guys, we are so excited. We just won a $210 million deal." I mean, and they were trying to go to $1 billion in 3.5 years. They're going to get there in 18 months now. Wow. And they said, "We attribute it all to strikingly different selling in how they applied it because they just showed up differently." Clients who called into their call center said, "Who are you guys? We didn't used to like to call you, but now we like to. What did you do? What, did you swallow something? You know, what did you change?" And that's really satisfying, as you might expect, for us, because we're seeing so much goodness happen. So really what happens is people get a common vernacular. They think a bit differently. You don't have to be perfect, by the way, at any of this. You just are directionally correct. Mm-hmm. Small changes make a huge difference. Think of like the Olympics in an Olympic event where the difference between the gold medalist and the silver medalist and bronze is measured not in seconds, but in fractions of a second, sometimes less than 1/10 of a second. We found it's the same thing as sales. Small changes make an outperform difference. So the overall thing is we see that these small changes that clients make, salespeople make, sales leaders make with their sales teams make a quantum outperform difference. And it's fun to watch. It's exciting. It's exhilarating. And you just keep going, right? You keep going and keep learning. But that's kind of what I'd say.
Yeah. Incredible. Well, tell us about the book, Dale. Tell us where we can find it.
Yeah. So the book is called, again, Strikingly Different Selling. And the subtitle is 6 Vital Skills to Stand Out and Sell More. You can get it on Amazon or pretty much any online retailer. It's in a bunch of airport bookstores as well. But just go to Amazon. It's probably the easiest. And just type in strikingly different selling and it'll pop up. Awesome. And it's been number one in multiple categories and it's been super helpful to a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. And if people want to learn more from you, if they want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, probably a LinkedIn message. So if you Google my name, Dale Merrill, and strikingly different selling, I'll pop up. I should pop up, I'm hoping, right? And just send me, or just look for me on LinkedIn. You'll find me, a managing director at Franklin Covey. Send me a note if you have questions. I've had some really kind and awesome notes. You know, they send you private notes that someone got the book, they tried some stuff and it really helped them. So yeah, get in touch with me that way. And if we can help your folks who are listening here in any way, we're happy to do that as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dale, for joining us on the show. It's been, incredibly insightful. So excited for people to hear this one.
Thanks, Sarah. Great to be here.
And thank you to all of you for joining us again on the Predictable Revenue Podcast. Please, if you haven't already, hit the subscribe button on YouTube so that you can be notified each week when we have wonderful guests like Dale Merrill joining us and telling you the ins and outs of how to do sales, revenue, marketing, all that stuff better. We'll catch you next time.